Here we go. Oh, it's such an abrupt ending.
It gets
just like life.
Isn't it? I hate that. It's so rude. Hey, kids, how is everybody? It's week six.
That is a surprisingly chipper tone in your voice. Because I know how your actual week went.
I know. It's called acting. I'm working on it. I had to do it big time over an interview. But I'm not going to talk about that.
All right. But I gotta applaud you because we have checked in a few times this week. So good job bringing it.
It's been so rough. Well, okay, so I'm just gonna start bitching.
Let's start with your internet. So let's just tell everyone that if Jeffrey's face looks like it's fuzzy and fading in and out, that's one of the fun parts of his week. So
I wish I could share my bandwidth with you.
I wish you could
ship you bandwidth.
I'm really sick of having to go to McDonald's to get decent internet to upload things. It's really frustrating. Like the library doesn't even have.
You should do a series living in a red state.
It's terrible. Like I go to the one library and it's like the same speed I've got at the house. So I go to the bigger library. They're like, oh, it's so fast. It's so fast. It was 5 megabytes per second.
What do they got?
It was even slower than what I had here. I'm like, are you kidding me? So this week's been real rough. You know, I went back to the psychiatrist because I realized I wasn't living my best life, kids. I decided that, you know, I was just kind of, I didn't want to die, but I didn't want to live either. So I called the psychiatrist and decided it was time to get back on medication. Well, I was on medication for 30 days and then we had snowstorm and no medication. So I've been without medication for over a week. And FedEx was playing games, didn't know where it was, couldn't tell me, wouldn't tell me, no updates. It was a lot of fun. So it's been an emotionally charged week with crazy dreams. It's been so much fun.
Jeffrey, so these are the type of medications that you're not supposed to stop abruptly, right?
Correct.
Ooh, those are the kind that give you like that electric kind of buzzing sound feeling in your skull, like behind in that like area. You ever get that?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, man. Like, it's been a real treat. I've not been a happy camper. And I screamed at more than one customer service representative in FedEx, and I didn't even apologize because I did not care. And they kept saying, your package. And I'm like, stop calling it a package. Call it what it is, medication. Like, I was just not having it. I was so,
with my drugs.
I was too thrilled.
Stop right, talking like, about are you my kidding package. Me?
Call somebody. They're like, oh, well, we'll get to the person has the case. And it was horrible service. So I had to get the pharmacy involved. And that's kind of when I finally, you know, things started changing. But it was a horrible, horrible, horrible experience. And it is not fun going through withdrawal from medication. So I
had the same thing happen. I think you remember, Jeffrey, around Christmas time. My employer forced us to do the mail order prescriptions, which I've never done before. I've always just went to my local pharmacy when we needed something. But now they've restricted. You can only get one refill at your local store, and everything else has to be done online and shipped to you. Well, I had several prescriptions for the whole family that were due to come around Christmas time. But guess what? They didn't. And it kept showing that they were at a mail facility 20 miles from my house. So I kept calling and saying, can I just drive
the
there
one, yeah.
and just knock on the door or something? But
yeah,
the difference for me, though, is at least I could go to the local store and plead my case and go to the local pharmacy and say, look, this is your company. You know, you need to do something about this. And, and they were able to accommodate it. You're in a whole different boat. You're in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Your pharmacy doesn't have a local.
And the insurance doesn't work down here. No. And the other thing, too, that was the most annoying part of the whole situation was them saying that it was because it was scheduled last Wednesday and it said, couldn't be delivered due to weather. And they kept telling me due to weather. I'm like, it is 60 degrees and sunny. There is no weather. That is a lie.
It's nice weather. Right.
The driver lied. We had weather last week on Thursday. There was one day. The mail was back running the next day. There's no excuse. And I'm literally watching the FedEx driver drive past my house right now. So where's the medication? And then Friday, I'm on the phone fighting with them. And they're like, oh, we don't know. And now at that point, it said no delivery date available. Like they didn't know when it was going to get delivered. And then the FedEx driver shows up. And I'm like, oh, my God, is it here? No, it was medication for the kids. So I call FedEx back and I'm losing it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Just admit you lost the medication.
That's
fun. It wasn't cute. It was like psychotic Jeffrey on the phone. Like my aunt came out. She's like, I could hear you yelling. I thought maybe, you know, you snapped at one of the kids or something. I was a little concerned. She's like, and then I realized you were yelling about medication and you were on the telephone. She's like, I don't know that I've ever heard you yell like that. I'm like, I was done.
Yeah. I had that happen with the Christmas presents this year. FedEx lost them somewhere at one of their sort facilities in Buffalo. And I'm like, I will drive to Buffalo. It's 2 days before Christmas. I don't care.
Right.
And then I ended up getting them like overnighted by Amazon. They sent like duplicates. And then, like, everything arrived twice, and the kids are like, yay, double presents. And I'm like, no, I'm going to send half of these back.
That happened last year for Tyler's birthday. I ordered his birthday present wrapped, and it was like a $150 Lego set. So I didn't see it before it got opened. We open it, and it's some other Lego set, and it was a much, much cheaper one. So thank God they ended up sending me the correct one and refunded my money. I was like, that's right, yay. Kids. Give me my money.
Correct.
And free stuff. And they let us keep the other one.
Hooray.
Yeah. I do like that.
Well, that's one of those heartwarming stories that Pixar can't touch.
I know. I love my aunt's always like, how do you always get free crap? I'm like, listen, when somebody messes up with my money, I'm getting something.
Oh, so can I jump in there? I have the happy ending to the story about my glasses from last week.
Oh, let's hear about that. How'd your melty glasses get fixed?
So I am sporting my new progressive lenses.
Yay.
I have not thrown up. I have not had any of the side effects that Dana described to us last week. So that
well, you deserve a bouquet of flowers.
For not yakking after putting my glasses on.
It felt like I had dementia and I had an inner ear infection at the same time. Like, I didn't know where I was or what I was doing. I don't know if I could wear those.
So I haven't had any ill effects of that. And the great news is when I got the message Friday that these were ready for pickup. So I showed up and, talked to the store manager about what had happened. She's like, oh, yeah, we talked on the phone. We're just going to replace these. And then the gentleman who was fitting me for these glasses took a look at the ones that were damaged. And he's like, so should we upgrade the lens? Do you want to turn those into sunglasses? And I said, yeah. So they wound up, they're going to replace the lenses in my old glasses and upgrade them to progressive sunglasses free of charge.
Sweet.
Nice. Yes.
So excellent customer service. Happy customer. I didn't have to lose it on anybody and it all worked out well. So.
Sometimes when you don't get to lose it on somebody, don't you feel like you got gypped a little bit? Like you're like, oh, am I going to end up turning this anger into a yelling match with the kids? I feel like.
I don't like it. I feel guilty.
I don't either. I don't like going there. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah. When I've got it all churned up inside, it takes a lot to work me up to the level where I'll unload on somebody. So when I get myself there and I don't, it's like you just hit that edge of a sneeze and it goes away. And you're like, no, I was ready for that.
Oh, so that's kind of like being on other medication and then getting all built up and not being able to finish. I understand that as well, too.
Mm-hmm. That's what it sounded like you were describing to me as well. But I didn't want to be the first to comment on that.
Well, I'm glad I was able to take everyone else there when it's usually me. It there.
I'm not sure where we transitioned. This is one of those.
What medication was that?
I don't want to take that. So, how was everybody else's week? What happened? Anything fun? Anything new?
I don't.
You got new lenses. Do we have a sleeping baby? What's happening with the baby?
Oh yeah, Brian.
He's doing a little bit better. He's just okay. So he keeps doing this.
Teeth? What's happening?
Well, the teeth aren't through yet, but you can actually see on. I think he's going to get both of the bottom ones at the same time. But he has been doing this thing where he wakes up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, is not crying or anything, but is just like wide awake, cooing, laughing, having a grand old time until about 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or sometimes 5:30. I'm like,
it's usually a growth spurt. How old is he again? 6 months?
He just turned 6 months.
Yeah, there you go. Saturday. That's usually a they're usually going through some developmental milestones when it happens, and they wake up in the middle of the night just ready to go. So
yeah, and God, I hope he's getting there cooling and he's playing and he's not crying. Just leave him alone.
Oh, right. That's what we do.
Good practice.
Last night he actually slept. Well, I don't know if he slept through the night, but I did.
And you know,
until
what?
About most 7 in the morning, I was like, "Is that daylight outside? What's happening?"
So. Such a good feeling. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I'm so wary because he's teething, so I know he's, and there's like a sleep regression at 6 months, so I'm like, I don't want to say anything out loud.
So you've been reading a lot too.
It's oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
See, well, I'm have so... the you know, the book What to Expect When You're Expecting the First Year.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember like, that was one of the books that was scattered around my house too.
There were so many, yep. And I'm so thankful to have forgotten most of it, really.
Yeah, some of it's like what? Yeah.
Things that just I don't need to keep space for in my mind anymore. It's a really good thing. Oh, so Jeffrey, you're having warmer temps than we are right now, right?
Yeah, it was like 60s, high mid 60s today, and then next week we're actually going to go into the 70s. Ugh. Enjoy your teens.
Yeah, no, we didn't have a lot of degrees, and the car battery.
A lot of degrees.
We didn't have many of them today, and so the car battery was dead. It was a great Monday morning. It's a good start when you get in. There's literally nothing, and I look up, and one of the dome lights is just very dimly lit above my head.
I feel like you should tweet Subaru and let them know.
Yeah, what are they going to do, come to Moravia?
No, they need to send you a new battery. That's rude.
They didn't make it cold out.
I was like, why is it a new car?
Take a look and keep on ticking. I'm just saying. You know, I'd like to tweet at companies and let them know when their products don't work correctly. That's how you get free things.
Until you get three things?
Free. Stop. Look at, I'm gay. I got a list. What do you want from me? I got vampire teeth. I mean,
sometimes
what do you want?
You get three free things.
Right. I knew
Dana, it. Dana, what about you? We got. What happened with you this week? Anything good? You know, did you have?
I can't
you know,
remember.
No.
I wake up. I make coffee. I get in the shower. I go to work. I come home. We have dinner. Get the kids to bed, and then watch a TV show, go to bed. Like, I don't have energy to be fancy and do things.
Speaking of fancy.
Is that just February? Like, sorry, I didn't mean to jump in.
Yeah,
is
I think
just,
so, yeah.
Is that just February? Because I feel like we've officially entered the month where historically, pre-COVID, I have been known to announce that we're going somewhere south. With no warning and no planning, like where I just can't take it anymore. And it usually happens like second, third week of February where winter has officially gone on for too long for my liking. And
where
I
you
can't
at?
Take it. Because I don't, all the days are just exactly what Dana just described.
Yeah.
Right?
I sent you videos yesterday of Gabe outside in a t-shirt
dancing
to Prince. That's what we did. We sat outside jamming out yesterday. It was great. The hell is that?
Who's got the meows?
We got a pussy on the loose?
Yeah.
It's not my pussy for once.
Somebody's... All right, Kelly. Look at Kelly. She's like...
Because I'm trying not to say yes, it's mine. Except I think that's the only thing I can say.
This week I tried tonight actually. I did it for Valentine's Day. I tried out. There's this Kathy lady on TikTok. I can't remember her whatever the whole name is. Kathy, she does a lot of cooking stuff and she always says, "This is all you're gonna need," right? It's some Italian like New Jersey chick. And she had like this ravioli bake in a vodka sauce from scratch. Everybody loved it. It was delicious. And then she had a sausage and peppers thing. And she put a little Worcestershire sauce in it. It was so good. I'm obsessed with this woman. And then I got all these grannies that I follow now on the TikTok.
The Tiki Tok.
Yeah.
A little happy Valentine's Day to Vera. Vera. Did you see that, Jeffrey?
To Vera?
Vera, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, Vera.
He's like, he's not seeing it. He's like, where?
Oh, hi, Vera. How do you see it? Oh, no, because I had the thing open because I'm waiting to do the let's check in. All right. Well, shall we do it? Shall we check in?
We should check in.
All right. Let's check in, kids.
I got to always get my pen and paper, though, because I have to keep track.
All right, kids. Let's check in. How do you feel today? Hashtag, what's your emoji? If you're watching, come on, tag us. Hashtag, what's your emoji?
So I want to do this a little different this week, Jeffrey. Let's go through the numbers. And if you've had that one, let us know. Can we do that?
Sure. Why don't you start? Because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I was like, let's keep it up.
So who's had a one?
Oh,
just me. I probably had one time.
Yeah, I've had a couple ones.
Yeah. How about some twos?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and three, Jeffrey?
Lots of threes.
Yeah.
Did any of those threes turn into fours?
Yeah.
I have a little four.
I have a couple fours every week.
I had several. I definitely did. What about five?
No.
Yes.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had a five.
I feel like five is like a constant state for me.
Like, you need value.
Normally or just off your meds?
No, just on a daily basis, I'm always like WTF. You know what I mean? Like, is this my real life? Is this really? Did my kid seriously just go and pee on the air conditioner unit? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Every day.
Why?
Yeah.
With like the one outside?
Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, that's the whole story.
Oh, Lord.
Oh. Okay. I was going to say six, but Dana just launched.
So. I am on a solid six. I woke up at 2:30 this morning, and I can't. 2:30. It was like my body was just like, hey, this is fine. We're done now. That was the rest of my sleep.
Yeah. And I think it's a symptom of February. I feel like six is the norm for me this time of year. There's just, I'm not getting outside enough, not getting enough fresh air, not enough daylight, all of those things. So I hope nobody had a seven. Did anybody have a seven?
No.
Puking? No. Thank God for that. Okay. Oh, eight. Well, I think we know Jeffrey had some eights.
Oh, yeah.
Sure did.
I didn't have
shipping
any of those.
And medication related eights.
Yes. Yeah, Brian, any eights?
No eights this week.
Yeah, no, me either. Pretty calm.
I don't think so. Nine.
Absolutely.
That happens every day for me because I watch the news.
Well, I've reached a point where I'm in six so much that I'm starting to feel nine.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know, my brain is melted to the point from exhaustion, extreme exhaustion, where I just can't. I'm proving my point by not being able to put words together right now. So, tongue tied. Oh, okay, so that brings us to 10.
Oh yeah, 10 and 5 go hand in hand for me.
10 and 9 go with the news for me.
Yeah, this whole week I don't think I did any 10s. But I definitely jumped straight to 11, like where things were like, this is so crazy. If I better laugh at it until I cry, and then I could have a little real cry, and then this will keep me from dying.
My solid 10 was the halftime show.
What was the last one? Laughing?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, yeah, so
to kind of apologize
to whoever is joining us or may rewatch this, that we are all literally in a zombie state this week. So we're struggling a little bit and it's real.
I don't know that I'm in a zombie state because I did actually get my medication this afternoon. So I'm a little worried I'm not going to sleep. And I did about 50 minutes today in Italy with, Stacey Clark's husband there. I can't remember his first name. He's kind of homely, but whatever.
Do you get to pick the people?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But today was all about endurance and building the endurance and burning fat and doing inclines all through someplace in Italy. I don't know.
Like, so when you're on the treadmill, does it do a good job of taking your mind off what's bothering you?
No. Oh. This morning I was so mad over this thing that happened on Reddit. And the whole time I was on there, I was just swearing on the inside of my head all about it. And then, you know, I had to have one of the kids, the 8-year-old, has to come in and sit there and do his work. And the 10-year-old's out in the hallway so I can see them because they can't be trusted to be out in the kitchen area because they're just having a little bit of a go of it, of getting into things and doing things they're not supposed to. So they have to kind of stay in eyesight. So
you have your children sitting on a floor watching you on a treadmill?
Yeah, well, they're, you know, the one's writing in his notebook. Yeah, well, they're both writing in their notebooks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Watching Daddy on a treadmill.
Well, no, they're working. They're doing their schoolwork.
Okay.
Yeah, but they have to, you know, I have to be able to see them. And instead of keeping the camera on, because they don't care that I'm watching them on a camera, because they can't see me, so they just feel like, we'll do whatever.
You're just like their teachers.
Yeah.
You're like the substitute.
From hell.
So, Jeffrey, what happened on Reddit?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear about that little exchange.
God.
Did you get into a narcissistic unload?
It was so frustrating. So, there was this group on there that I've been, like, obsessed with. I thought it was great. And I'm like, oh, these should be some interesting topics for us to talk about on this show.
I read through some of those. Those are kind of fun.
Yeah, where it's about, like, narcissistic parents.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been like active in this group all about it. And this one girl had done a post about how she struggled with people like kind of forcing her to forgive the narcissistic parents and how she struggles with that. And I had kind of put a comment on there like, oh, and how she people about them doing their best. And I was like, I do think they did their best or whatever. And I think I'd forgiven them, you know, and said that I had some crazy dreams where like I have dreams of screaming at each other, essentially, you know, that we get into fights and we're screaming. But then I wasn't entirely sure of if I had forgiven them. I don't know. You know, like, I don't know. What do those dreams mean? Does it mean that there's forgiveness there or that there's still lingering issues? Who knows? But that, you know, I hope she finds peace within herself and yada, yada, yada. So a moderator comes on and starts attacking me. At least this is the way I felt, was like, this post isn't about you. Now, mind you, my answer wasn't different from anybody else's on this post. Everybody, that's kind of what everybody does, is they go on and they kind of relate to their experiences with whatever, of how their experiences relates to whatever the original post is, and told me to read the room. So I always said, wow, you're kind of attacking me like, I didn't say I said that the person was right. And I didn't say that I'd even forgiven them or not. So then they just came back and like banned me and said that I said something about children, that children have to do what they're told and something else. So I'm like, what the hell just happened? And they're like, you're banned. So I messaged the moderators because I'm like, I'm really confused. Like, I mean, this could really trigger somebody, right? If somebody's there that's really like
talking about trauma and you're triggering on your trauma.
And you're just attacking them. And then I went and looked at other people's posts and or other comments on that thread and saw where people really jumped on other people if they didn't really like what they said. And then I kind of went and looked at this moderator's comments and saw like, this is a pattern of the behavior. Anything that somebody said that this moderator doesn't like, this moderator would jump and attack people.
Wow.
So the irony of it, though, to me, is that it literally was a post about a narcissist, and it was the moderator who was demonstrating the most narcissistic behavior.
Right. So I go in and I message the moderators just saying, like, I'm really confused. Like, you know, I posted on this. I'm getting attacked and being accused of things that I didn't even say. And of course, this moderator sees it. Do you think I didn't tell them your horrible and cruel comments or some crap? And I'm like, what did I even say? Like,
come on,
because
Jeffrey.
I hope that she finds peace.
No, I think you got up in the middle of the night. You don't remember it.
Like, was I Ambien Redditing? Like,
I think I'm like, what? I think maybe that's what happened.
No, because I was obsessed about this. I mean, I was obsessed. Planet of the Apes, I went and looked at all my comments in that group. At no point did I talk about children.
You're a monster.
No point did I talk about
children.
Have
you talked about children?
You monster.
I don't use Reddit.
And then somebody said, well, maybe the dude went and watched the show. I'm like, well, the show has nothing to do with what goes on Reddit. And I'm like, when have I said anything about children need to do exactly what they're like? I mean, the way he described it was insane.
I mean, that would be flattering to think that someone recognized your handle on Reddit and actually took it upon
right. And the thing, that was the other thing too. He's like, oh, considering your username, because I was commenting under Uncensored Radio. So that was the other thing, is that he was attacking the fact that I'm like, so you, really, what was this about, dude? The fact that the handle that I use is Uncensored Radio, because now we have a little community on Reddit. So if you want to come join us, we'll hopefully have some good chats, and we'll start our own narcissistic parent group, and then we'll talk all about Sea Turtle 627 or whatever his name was.
Sea Turtle.
It was a like weird name.
Turtles can fly or something.
Yeah, Sea Turtle can fly.
But
yeah.
You can go to like the person's profile, and you can see every comment they've done, and like I was like just horrified at like the behavior and the things that he was saying to people that didn't sounds make like sense, that wasn't true. You know, and he's like, oh, the DSV says, and I'm like, whoa, that's not actually what it says.
What's a DSV?
And he would just ban people the diagnostic left and right. Like, this is somebody on a power trip, and I'm like,
DSM.
This could really harm somebody if they're, you know, on the verge, you know?
Well, it's the internet, though. I think everybody has this, like, default switch in their head where they're like, oh, I read it on the internet, so...
No, it's the book that the psychiatrist used to make diagnosis and what those mean. But this guy, I mean, he just throwing around crap. Like, it wasn't even accurate information. And people were trying to correct him, and he would ban them. Like, one of the ladies was saying, like, she, you know, had a PhD or whatever, and he banned her.
Okay, but then let's turn this around. You're in good company. Like, so the rational minds are the ones that get kicked out of this.
Yeah.
What do you even call it? A Reddit room? I don't even know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Reddit is just like, you're literally just like, you know when you read a news article and you get the string of nonsense at the bottom? This is like without the news article, it's just a string of nonsense at the bottom. Like, you can find some useful information in there if somebody's like sharing stuff on a specific topic that you're interested in. But a lot of time it's like you just have people from all over the internet that are looking for that one little niche of people that share the same, I don't know, perspective that they do. And then they all lump themselves together in this little like corner of the internet.
Well, there's different
they
groups.
They can just
like
echo each other and
horror
be happy.
Movie groups.
Well, they could be robots too.
They had like Nickelodeon group, Power Ranger, you know what I mean? Yeah. So like I went and cross-posted
literally
things like from our old
everything.
Ads. Because we have a bunch of, for people that are just tuning in that don't really know, you know, the show, we had an audio-only show years ago. We had 1,000 hours. We've been dumping a bunch. We've been pulling the archives up. So on our YouTube, you go to uncensoredradio.live and subscribe. We've been pulling up old interviews and shows where Karen Ashley from the Power Rangers was a regular, and she talked about the failed Power Ranger reunion that they tried to do a few years back. And actually, we really got into how TMZ handled David Yost, was the original Blue Ranger, and he was gay, and when he came out and how he was bullied on set and what TMZ did to try to get all the dirt they could on him and how they really treated him like crap.
That doesn't surprise me at TMZ.
No, it was
disgusting. I like the Blue Ranger the best.
It was disgusting what he went through. You know, we have interviews with the whole, you know, everybody in that cast that we've done interviews with. So all that stuff will be popping up. But yeah, sorry. Derailed.
But so. Yes.
Hey, there we are. I should subscribe to our Uncensored Radio on YouTube. There it is.
Yes, please do.
I just did that.
Thank you.
I just did that.
Well, I just, you know. Hi.
So I had a question.
Yeah.
I don't know what got me thinking about this, but for some reason I was thinking about people that maybe when you were younger or whatever in life where you looked up to someone as a mentor or a friend or somebody that you had a whole hell of a lot of respect for and then found out they weren't who you thought they were.
Yeah.
Think of time, like for me, the most glaring example, I think it was elected officials when I was a kid. Looked up to them, totally different. I mean, we're talking about 40 years ago. Looking up to leaders in our country as somebody that you would, you know, respect and want to be like and all of that, only to, you know, grow up and find out
they're trash bags.
Yeah, exactly. Or even our own history. So I don't even know why I was thinking about that, but it certainly seemed like something that would affect how we asked. No, but I mean, what triggered the idea?
I don't remember what, somehow we got into it yesterday. I think it's a really interesting thing. I think for me personally, I think the biggest hit for me with that would have been, you know, my mom. You know, and it was stuff I didn't really realize.
Isn't that everybody's first one? 30. Where you're like 9 years old, and you're like, wait a minute.
No,
you're not a superhero.
That what my parents said was wrong.
It wasn't even that young. It really was till like 30, you know, where I realized like, oh, there's more mental health issues here going on. There are things, and like my grandmother was somebody that I was very close with. She was another person that was kind of like on a pedestal to me, right. You know, in the last year of her life before the murder suicide, I cut her off and didn't communicate with her and had nothing to do with her because it was like, dude, I can't be a part of this anymore. And people are really weird about that. You know, when you cut people off and shut it down, they don't know how to do with that. But I'm like, the disappointment of realizing who people are versus who you made them out to be in your head or who they presented themselves to be your whole life.
Yo.
It's brutal. Brutal. Well,
and how does it affect you? Is it the sort of thing where you come to question your own beliefs and values, or do you try to model yourself after them? Some people would, right? If depending on how far the connection has gone with that person, right? I mean, some people hold people up in such an idyllic way that they want to emulate them and then follow that bad behavior, you know, and that is not something I have personally experienced, but I know, you know, that crosses over into peer pressure, right? Or just modeling the behavior of other people that you respect or that you think is valuable, you know?
Well, Brian, what about like for us, the gay community, there were some people that had positions of power in the place that we kind of went out to that.
Oh, yeah.
I think we kind of idolized, and in the end we found out they weren't really who we thought they were.
Yeah.
You know, like they weren't really the great people that they presented themselves to be. And you, I think, particularly got totally screwed over. I didn't swear. Yeah. Yay!
No, you didn't. Good job.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's something you want to talk about, but
not really. But I,
you don't have to mention any names. I'm just saying.
No, I just I like to take things as like a learning lesson. I don't like to take it as like it was a good or a bad thing.
Right.
Like obviously, at the time, it seems like a bad thing. I don't want to talk about it particularly because one of the people isn't even alive anymore. So, I don't know if that's like appropriate, but anyways, and it's like, you know, before they passed, we were able to talk about it. So I don't really have any like ill will for it, but
actually,
but no, you're absolutely right. Like I think that happens a lot in public. Like even we present ourselves, it's hard to present yourself as your authentic self because you have to be vulnerable to do that.
But that's a really good point that you bring up, Ryan. So are we willing to confront that person? If it's somebody that you personally know, that would be different from, say, a public figure. But if it's somebody that you interact with regularly, are you comfortable in standing in your own truth and saying, you know what, I'm really not okay with how, you know, how your behavior or how you're interacting with other people, and that's not who I thought you were. I mean, where do we find a level of comfort in saying that? Do we need to say it? Is it even relevant, you know?
Well, I think it depends on the person, that, too, because some people, it's probably easier to say that too than others, you know?
Well, what role did they play in your life, you know? And, like, has the time passed and you've moved on? Just the people.
Depending on the person. Yeah, depending on the person. You know what I mean?
Like, for me, like, with the family-wise, it was easy to kind of get in their face and say, like, this is it. This is what I've had and I've done. Where the people in the gay community, you know, it was the first place that I ever felt safe. And it actually wasn't until we started doing this show that one day I was thinking about it. Brian and I were talking, and then it kind of hit me. And I think I called you, and I was like, oh, my God. The stuff that went on there, I'm like, really was problematic. And if it happened today, there would be a major issue. You know, things that went on with us, like the age that we were and the adults that were around us, none of it was okay. You know what I mean? But I'd never even really put it into perspective. I didn't think anything about it.
Well, I also think, too, like, there needs to be, like, accountability, too, because, like, for me personally, it's not like I didn't know what I was doing or...
Well, right. I mean, I wasn't drugged too.
Or, like, anything like that, like...
So. I think we could,
have but there is a but when there's a power imbalance, like
which there was,
there that is definitely an issue. If you're, especially if you're using your power to get what you want.
But when you're at that age, though, you want to be accepted, so you're pretty much willing to do anything. And I'm not sure that you would change it if you wanted to. Just that's the nature of. Coming of age. That's why they call it coming of age, you know, where you are exposed to things and how you're going to react to different situations is, you know.
Well, I think that's one of the ironies of things, like people that have gay kids who try to push the kids away or like disown them or whatever.
They're just because they think those experiences.
Well, they push them away because they think they're going to live this crazy lifestyle or whatever. But what they're actually doing is making them live that crazy lifestyle. Because instead they're isolating them and pushing them away instead of embracing them and loving them and including them.
Did you feel like that?
What, that I was pushed away?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when I was younger, God, yeah. I don't think I was pushed away. I just don't think I fit in. And I don't think that people didn't try. Like, I don't know that people were mean about it necessarily in my life, but they didn't know, like, I think they just kept trying the same thing.
They didn't know how to support you?
Oh, yeah. And I think they would say, like, things that they didn't think were hurtful, but they were hurtful, you know what I mean? Like I remember one time I had these platform shoes, and I was going to wear them to my brother's baseball game. My brothers were, like, 6 and 8 years old. And my mom was like, and I had this like, studded belt on. And my mom was like, oh my God, you're going to wear that to the baseball game? She's like having a fit. And she kept calling them my Elton John shoes.
Oh.
And for me, I didn't even think anything of it. But like, I mean, she was right. Everybody in Auburn is going to be like, oh my God, why is he wearing that belt? Why is it like, why the fuck does it matter? Like, ding, ding. But like, I don't live like that. I don't personally care. Like, I'll go wear pink hair. I don't give a shit. But, like, I've had to learn that the other people around me do care. And so sometimes, like,
it's a hard lesson.
Yeah.
And I think we both learned it the hard way.
When I was younger, I took it as, like, they didn't want, like they were trying to exclude me or something. Whereas, like, they just didn't know how to handle that criticism, that type of, like... Whereas it didn't bother me as much as it bothered them.
My mom used to do that.
Because I don't care, like, what hillbillies from Auburn think of me.
Right.
Like.
Yeah, they can. What'd your mom do?
Oh, you remember. Like, when I was a teenager, I had the giant JNCO pants. And they had the studded everything and chains everywhere and things and whatnot. And I don't know. My mom used to. She's like, you're so embarrassing. I don't want to bring you anywhere. And I'm like, that's fine. I'll just walk.
That's fine. You're such a go with the flow person, Dana.
Yeah. I don't know. It entertained me. I still have my Jenkos.
I think all. Do I think you really? Like the, it all comes from anxiety too. Like the person has anxiety.
Yeah.
And they don't want to talk about it, so it comes out in like that, like criticism type.
Oh yeah.
Because they're anxious about what everybody thinks.
Right. Yeah. Like Joyce kind of was the same way. Like she, when we got engaged and like the whole thing came up about like an engagement photo in the paper, and she was like, absolutely not.
Why?
Because, that would be a problem. Like people would have an issue with that, you know? Can't do that.
So, do you think that's more about protecting their, somebody's view, a parent's view, that they have to protect you from the world?
Well, that's what I was
about. Or is it about themselves?
I think they're about protecting what their friends think of them. Oh, look at their kid doing this.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit of both.
It is. Well, I've actually talked to my mom about it. My mom did say that, like, my mom's not like that at all anymore and is very supportive. But she told me it was more of like what I was saying earlier, not wanting me to like have to live this terrible lifestyle.
Right.
But like what I was saying earlier, in trying to exclude the person or push them away or shun them or shame them or don't talk about it or whatever you want to call it, you end up pushing them into that lifestyle. Not intentionally, it just is what happens. I think it's like something that people should be cognizant that are going to have kids. Like, that's all. But my mom, I know for a fact it's a little bit of both, because we've actually had a conversation about it. Because I don't ever shut up about anything.
Yeah, I think I do think there's a part of my mother that was worried, but at the same time, it doesn't really make sense to me because I never cared what anybody thought. And she should have known that by then. You know, well, like I was the one that when I came out, I decided wearing the glitter and the lip gloss and the 3-inch heel boots.
Your mom's like in that old Italian community. She cares what everybody's like. Everybody's
right.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the biggest thing to her. The neighbors could hear. The neighbors can hear. And I was like, F the neighbors. I don't care. You know, like, I think that's too why I became the person of like, I tell everybody everything. I don't have a filter, and I overshare because my mother was the person, right? Because it was always it was a secret. Everything you don't tell anybody anything. Well, you keep everything.
That's like a cat. That's like an. I don't want to pigeonhole people. But.
See, I always got to be like anything that criticism's always made me really uncomfortable. So how do I deal with criticism? Is like I turn it into something comfortable, and who's not comfortable with laughing? So it's like anytime I'm uncomfortable about something, I make a joke about it because it's like, hey, if I can make a joke about it, it takes its power away from it. It doesn't bother.
Exactly. But you know what? There is power in that, and there's truth in that, right? Like for me, like being the kid that when I was in middle school and had the long hair down to my shoulders, and I sounded like a girl, and they'd be like, "Are you gay?" And I didn't even really know what it was. Like I would just crack a joke, and they'd be like, "Oh, you're cool," you know. Or I'd be like, oh, I don't like fags. You know what I mean? And it throws the straight guys, the rednecks off. And they'd start laughing and be like, you're the coolest gay guy I ever met. He said he didn't like fags.
Yeah.
But it always, the humor deflected from, or, you know, even with weight, you know, if I cracked the fat joke first, you had nothing left. You know, I took the power from you. Yeah. And that's, I feel like with the words, like if I say fag first, you have no power anymore.
So I have a question about that. So self-deprecating humor can be a really powerful tool, right, to regain control. But we also know that the more you feed that negative self-talk and that inner dialogue that goes on in your head, you start to then believe all of those things. And then it gets buried so deep into your subconscious, you're not even aware that you're literally reshaping your own view of yourself. It started out as a tool to make you more relatable to the outside world, but what it ultimately winds up doing is becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy because you believe it all.
And this is how we ended up this way.
Right? On a total side note, did you guys know that some people don't have an inner monologue?
What?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Are those like people who just mess? Is that like people who can just meditate without trying?
No, like they don't have. They don't have. There's no inner. Like nothing happened. Like it's just quiet. Like nothing. Are happened. They
psychopaths? Like what? I mean,
I guess. Like, yeah, there's like. Yeah, it's not normal. Like
that's not I don't side know. Note. That's like the. That is it. How does that happen?
I don't know.
I'd like to live in their head for like a few days.
I think it's kind of well. They don't. They can't really probably experience like extreme joy and stuff either. Like they're just kind of like.
Well, is that like that one doctor that we watched the TED Talk? Isn't that kind of like the realm of what she had?
I don't know.
Kelly? Oh, are you talking? Wait, are you talking about the teacher?
I thought she was a doctor.
Which one?
The one who opened the school in Toronto.
I don't remember now. She like couldn't process things. They all said she was like couldn't do anything. She couldn't function,
and she overcame.
She overcame everything from childhood.
Are you talking about Jill Bolt Taylor?
No, this is a woman who basically she was referenced in a book about neuroplasticity, about how the brain that changes itself, and she self-diagnosed her own issues and then created a learning program to overcome her own deficits. So she had an incredible memory and ability to memorize things. That was not my cat.
That was mine.
Yeah.
That was not mine.
Yeah, it's called the brain that changes itself. I'll put it in the comments afterwards. But it's a fascinating book about neuroplasticity and how the old belief system that, you know, brains don't change, you know, once they're mapped for the same, it's the exact opposite is true, and that you can strengthen areas of deficit. And that's essentially what this woman did. And in graduate school, she came up with a program to heal and improve her own brain. And then she actually opened a school for learning disabled children and had a way of diagnosing or helping them figure out what their areas of weakness were, and then coming up with a specific training for them, training program for them to overcome them. So
it was fascinating. Yeah, Kelly's amazing. Kelly's taking me down some TED Talk rabbit holes, and with the Brené Brown.
Yes.
With the vulnerability. And that was kind of, I think, when I really started to want to do the show and just say, you know what, the hell with it. I'm going to let it all hang out. Because on the other show, we don't really get into our emotions and what's happened in life. And I think it's important to talk about because it's so taboo to have issues and to be on medication or to have mental health problems that it's still... you know, frowned upon,
or to give any other response to how was your day? Fine.
Yeah.
To actually say,
like, I'm not okay.
Ever, yeah, it was ever just well, fine.
And that's the worst part of having like parents that constantly like don't that they have parents that have a hard time communicating about feelings, and they're just always like you were talking earlier about like narcissistic parents or like super critical parents, like. They teach you that your feelings are minimized and like they don't matter, and you should always be worrying about like what other people are thinking of you and like what other people are like always pay attention to how mom feels, because if I'm not, she's going to be pissed, and I can avoid that if I'm paying attention to how mom feels, not me. Doesn't matter how I feel. I got to pay attention to how mom feels. And like,
yeah.
So like you learn that, and then like you get to be an adult, and next thing you know, it's like, you're in your 30s and you're like, I don't know what this feeling is. Is it mine? I have a feeling. I think it's angry. It's like you've never had a chance to like actually like no one's talked to you about how you feel. Like, well, I'm sad sometimes and then sometimes I'm happy. Like that's the spectrum. Like, I don't know.
I think Jenny Patlin talked about it after we interviewed her. I don't remember if it was a part of the interview or something after. And then it was at one of the posts on that group. Of after like living the life with those parents, and then they kind of went through other things. These, you know, people don't know who they are. And that was something like after my divorce, I in therapy kept saying, like, I don't know who I am. Like, people would look at me and be like, oh, you've got Drex, you're so confident, like da 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 da. You know, and I'm like, I'm not though. Like, that was just all bullshit. Like, none of that was real. Like, that's just the face I put on. You know what I mean? Like, on the inside, I'm a scared little kid, and I just want somebody to tell me it's going to be okay.
I think everybody is. And
yeah, some level. You know? But nobody admits, nobody says that. Yeah. Nobody ever, you know what I mean? Like,
well, because we all have this magical notion, like, that, like, you're going to, all of a sudden you turn 18, and you're just, like, an adult, and, like, it's like a switch flips or something, and you go from not being a kid. My grandma said to me one time, she was like in her 70s at the time, she said she gets up in the morning and she'll wake up and she feels just like an 18-year-old. You know, as soon as she opens her eyes, she feels just like she did when she was 18 until she tries to move. And then she goes and looks in the mirror and goes, oh God, what the hell happened?
I know that feeling.
But she said you never not feel like that that same person who's like curious about life and what's going to happen next, and like, you know, those just being scared sometimes and wanting someone to hold your hand, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think like most people talk about that.
Right. The thing where you're always looking for the other adult, like, where's the more adult person in the room?
Sometimes I have that with the baby, like Joe leaves and I'm like, shit, that's me. I'm on board. Like,
I didn't ding your ass to.
Sorry.
No.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, and earlier when Jeffrey mentioned he had Drex, it's not an illness. It's a sub shop that's in New York State and other areas of the country. You might want to explain that. It's not, you weren't suffering from Drex. It wasn't like you didn't need ointment for it or anything.
People are
gone. You could.
No, I had three sub shops, and we were literally about to close on a fourth a week before like our divorce started, and Gabe was 6 months old. Like there was a lot. Yeah, and the murder suicide happened 8 months prior to this, so there was a lot that had happened. The two older foster kids had left that we'd had for 3 years. And the one had a baby while she was with us. She came pregnant. And I was holding her leg up when the baby came out. So there was a lot of things that happened. And then when the marriage ended, there was no way for me to keep everything going by myself. I could not hold the plates up anymore. Like the chaos, I mean, that I lived in on a daily basis was insane. I think everybody around me saw it, and but I liked it. Like, I really did enjoy it because it was constant nonstop motion. And then I just kind of cracked, and I didn't know how to ask for help and say I'm not okay. You know, I was too ashamed of it. I was embarrassed, and then I was embarrassed that I was being left, and I was the fat dude. You know, and the things that were being posted on Facebook, and then, you know, I got left completely, and it was just humiliating.
Oh, well, the fear of abandonment even by itself can be overwhelming.
Well, yeah, that was I mean, that played a part in it. I mean, it wasn't even the biggest part. It was more of just the whole life itself collapsing. But yeah, I mean, the
and then I tried to kill a few people.
Yeah, Brian was the biggest offender.
I remember that. Yeah.
He was ready to go beat some ass. But yeah, the abandonment thing was real.
Sorry, I
was know. That was a very tough, and it really brought up all this abandonment issues that I didn't realize I had.
You didn't know what it was, but you knew what the feeling was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's crazy to me that, like, in my 30s, like Dana, you had said, like, I didn't even know that was the emotion, you know, even when I thought too, like, anxiety. I didn't realize how much anxiety I was carrying around.
Oh, yeah,
I got on medication.
You don't notice it, and like when you're in your like 20s and whatnot. Like I think back to it, and it's like
parenthood's like, the trigger.
When I was like a kid, and it's like you'd be like, so remember you like get all stressed out because like you didn't drive much, and like you'd drive to Syracuse, and like there'd be all this traffic, and you'd be like tight and all tense, and like you'd feel that knot in your throat by the time you got there, and you're like, oh man, I don't like driving. Like, you don't know that's anxiety. Like,
get like, and my chest would get tight, and I thought it was excitement. I'm like, oh, people are coming over, we're having a party. I'm like, I guess it's excitement. God, I get excited a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And then I finally, like, I started taking the meds after the murder-suicide, and I woke up one day, and I felt nothing, and I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. I could have ended this years ago.
Not how your did life, I the bad feelings.
Yeah, the anxiety and the stress. Like, how did I not realize what was going on in my own body?
And
like,
here's why, Jeffrey. It's because when we don't talk about the physiological response to emotions in everyday language, we use words without describing them. Every 5-year-old knows the word happy, sad, mad, right. glad. But we rarely take the time to go beyond spelling those words and saying them to actually describing the physiological reaction that goes with each one of those. Yeah. So, you know, it usually takes an event or a trigger or stumbling across people in your life that you can have that conversation with. You know, I know for me, parenthood was a huge trigger for getting in touch with who I am, what my fears were, what anxiety really was like. It's an ironic time for that to happen because parenthood, you're walking into a closet, a nightmare of fears, right? I mean, yes, we all know what the upside of parenting is, but it's also mostly fear and anxiety that I'm going to screw this up terribly.
Yeah.
And why would anybody look to me and give me this much responsibility? And you don't want to be viewed by the outside world as a failure, right?
Right.
I remember I had the worst time with Mother's Day for several years. Mother's Day was one of the worst days of the year for me because I felt wholly insufficient as a mom. I felt like, I mean, growing up, I was an only child. I didn't want kids per se. It's not that I didn't want them. I was afraid of whether or not I could relate to a child or make a connection or be a good parent. It was just this, I have anxiety just thinking about that, you know, right. And it took a long time for me to accept that I didn't need to parent or mother in the way that anyone else ever has, that I could do it my way,
right?
And trust my instincts and embrace that, you know. But that doesn't happen overnight. And in the meantime, they keep getting older, and so do we. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
And
we all found that out last night at the halftime show. We all keep getting older.
That's me too. Like, I wouldn't look like that if that was me. Oh no, I'd look a lot worse. No.
Yeah.
But so. I mean, it's unfortunate that we always get into the heart of this conversation by the end of the show, you know? It's like we all finally wake up from the exhaustion of our week and really get in touch with who we are. But, yeah, a parenthood is – we come back to that a lot in this show, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're all in the thick of it, right? I mean, Kelly, you have amazing kids. You are totally blessed.
Yeah.
Dana, I don't – your kids are all right, I guess.
he doesn't seem to know.
No, my kids are awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen your kids in a long time, so I don't know.
Wait, how old are your kids, Dana?
Me, they're 8 and 10.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
wait, so they're Kelly's age?
Pretty close.
Well, close. Branson is a year younger than Ridley. So.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And then so. Tyler and Aiden are 8 and 10. Yeah.
So they're all.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And then poor Brian, like he'll call.
I got 6 months.
The baby's crying in the background. I'm like, "How's little Damien?" It's my nickname for him.
I'm like, he's singing again.
Like I'm gonna get him the T-shirt that says "Uncle Jeff loves his Damien."
His Damien.
That's what I'm gonna call him the rest of his life.
Little
children. He might like that actually.
I know.
So hey, we talked about an idea going forward about maybe picking a book that we're all going to read together and sharing it with our listeners. And maybe we'll knock out a chapter or two a week. We haven't had a chance to settle on one yet, but once we do, what do you think? We'll post it.
We'll post it on the show page. We'll post it on Twitter and there's a lot of things and the Instagrams, and we'll post it on the Reddit page.
I think we need a gong for when it's like really bad. Like,
no.
Can you get a gong, Kelly? Oh, that would be amazing.
Oh, don't you have like a big like crystal singing bowl or something?
Branson was using the singing bowl for like an hour when he got home from school.
So
he loves it. He just keeps going. The problem is,
what's a singing bowl?
Oh, you sing
it to him? I'll bring it to the next show.
It's like a big, like it's like a big crystal like bowl, but it's like perfectly sized and shaped, like with the walls and everything. And you hit it, and it like resonates and so it just makes a really nice tone.
Yeah, you can either tap the side and it's sung, or there's a suede covered mallet.
Yeah, it's like a mallet.
That,
yeah,
that you would run around the outside like you would your finger in a wine glass.
Oh, okay, okay.
It starts making that sound. You do the same thing.
Oh, that's cool.
I am signing you up for Katie Underwood's sound meditation class that Kelly and I do. She does them a couple times a week. They're out, you can write on Facebook, and then her website, you can get all the back ones. And you can listen at your leisure, but she does them live.
They're on Facebook,
these
are
hard to get.
Yeah, and she does all these amazing
mantras. She's in Australia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she does the show with us on the other show. She was
you just have to hold the bowl upside down.
In Australia.
Yes.
Before American Idol, they had pop stars, and she was in a girl group called Bardot. Yeah, so she does our show on Thursdays and then on Tuesdays. But now she does yoga and sound meditation, and it's an amazing thing. And I don't
have a CD right in front of me.
Yeah, these
kids do too. She has several CDs on the kids.
Sound
healing. Every night they ask for the evening one. I forget what it's called, but it's like a, you know.
Yeah,
relaxing nighttime meditation.
It's maybe fantastic. The baby needs that.
Yeah,
so y'all just check out
Katie Underwood on Facebook.
I need
you'll find it. It's in Australia. It's only $20 for the month, and you get access to. I mean, there's 50 hours at least of content. Oh. Yeah, it's great. And then she also has stuff you can go check out iTunes. She just
I have all of her iTunes albums.
Yeah, there's some sound healing on there. Yeah, they're really great. Yeah, I have the CD because I plug it every Thursday and everybody laughs at me, and she gets so annoyed when I do it when she's on. She's like, will you stop it? And I'm like, oh, you're stressed out? You need Katie Underwood's Mantra Dreaming.
And we're going to, yes, that's what,
fantastic. Mantra Dreaming.
So those are are coping mechanisms. We should,
Yeah.
And, my other favorite thing that I have here, which, by the way, kids, if you'd like to get a Young Living diffuser, just let me know and I'll send you my link. You can go right on my Facebook page and you can go buy some Young Living and, help me support paying for my, what do I got to put my kid in? Boarding school.
Boarding school.
Boarding school.
It's not cheap.
You're going to have to sell a lot of oils or some
Seriously. Cloths. Or I got Norwex if you like good cleaning cloths. I got that too. So let me know, kids. I'm probably just going to get fired from both of them.
Dana's face is awesome.
Whenever there's multi-level marketing involved, I get a sour stomach feeling.
Okay. First off, you know what? If you did a window cloth from Norwex that you just have to use water to clean a window, it would change your world, okay? It's the most amazing thing. I sent you some, Kelly. What did you think? Was it not amazing?
It's great.
Thank you.
But then you also sent me mattress cleaner, remember?
And well, because you were saying something about the mattress.
It's
a weird gift.
2-gallon jug of alcohol and water, and I put a little vinegar in that, and it's magic. Anything glass is clean, and it cost me $7.
Or you could just take a rag, and you could make it streak free shine, and you don't have to mix anything.
Yeah, I can clean other things too.
I know what I'm gonna get you for your birthday.
I can clean my cooktop with it, and I clean my TVs.
You could do this
with
the Norwex cloth too. Listen, all I do is use their cloths. Okay, they got crazy products on there that are stupid expensive. Sorry, Norwex. I'm just being honest. Okay, listen, Dana. I'm a realist. Okay, this is like Young Living. I love their stuff, but some of the crap is insane.
What I love.
You like these little rubby dubs. I get it. It's all right. You can like your rubby dubs. I'll try new things. I'm not dissing it. I have an easy solution.
You have an easy solution?
Yeah, it is literally a solution. It's three different chemicals in a solution.
You see, I don't to use chemicals. No chemicals for me.
Vinegar is not a chemical.
Alcohol, isopropyl alcohol, vinegar.
I mean, it is, but it's not. I mean, that's what he's saying. He's using
the only chemicals I use is the hair drops from Keeps that I put to try to grow my hair back.
Look at that.
If I lean too far forward, I'll look like a skunk because my gray hair is coming in. So.
When women get a stripe, all I think of is X-Men. And I'm like, yeah, get it, girl. You got it. You're going to have a superpower soon.
Soon?
Yeah.
I already do.
All right, cool.
Soon?
Yeah. So here's what I love, Jeffrey. We're coming to the end of the hour, and your internet is perfect now.
Of course.
Your face is glowing. Your voice is not breaking up staccato. You're not frozen. Like, it's like we should start again.
You're in high def.
Must be gotta after, like...
love Missouri.
Missouri.
I can't wait to be back in New York in April.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. I'll be there for Easter.
Cool.
Yeah. And then we're doing a baby shower. By the way, you're all invited, and I expect good gifts from my foster daughter, okay?
Which one's having a daughter now?
The Caitlin. One that he hasn't held her leg up yet.
Yeah, no.
Wait, yet. Caitlin's pregnant?
No.
Who's that?
Oh, yeah, surprise! she was the crazy one.
On the radio.
Yeah, well, she already told it on Facebook. She came on the actual other show. She did a round table with us on a Tuesday.
She
I think she might be a good mom, though.
Yeah, she's going to be a great mom. She's one of those kids that she's one of those, like, when the murder suicide happened, she actually was in the psych ward. I put her in there, and that was kind of the end. She left, and that was tough, man. And she's come such a far way. I'm so proud of that kid. She's really turned her life around.
You skipped a lot of important details in the telling of that, Jeffrey.
Yeah,
we should do a show all together too, maybe.
Yeah, here, I'd love to have her on this one. Yeah, because she's totally down to talk about it. She's proud of how far she's come. So it's exciting. So we're gonna throw her a little baby shower, kids. Hey, can't wait.
We'll be there.
So April. Yeah. We'll do it.
Let me know what day.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey will make sauce, I'm sure.
Yeah, actually, I think I'm going to make the ravioli pasta bake from Cantigan. I'm going to say, this is all you're going to need.
Making that sauce.
We're going to do vodka sauce.
Oh, all right.
And then we'll do shots of vodka while nobody's looking.
Baby shower. That's a great baby shower.
What? I've never even been to a baby shower, but I always thought there was lots of alcohol, except for one lady.
Yeah, she's the DD.
I mean, sometimes not she's the DD.
Oh, is that not how this works?
No, we're getting a little off topic here. So anyway, yeah.
Oh, I bent over.
What?
We're all punch drunk.
We gotta start over now. I swear.
Yeah. Yes. All right, kids. Well, it's been fun. Episode 6. Here we are. We did it. We made it through.
Have a good night.
We'll see you next
week. Ready for sleep.
I'll see you guys Thursday. Come check us out. And then February 24th, we have Dakota, the good big TikTok person. She's going to be on doing makeup with Ken. Yeah. Luke, it's going to be a trip. So make sure you check that out. We'll see you on Thursday. Or no, there's a show tomorrow. I don't know what's coming, but there's a show tomorrow. Oh, and the Karen Ashley damn reunion. That's airing on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Make sure you check that out. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, Hot Mess Express. Choo-choo. Bye.
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 I gotta hit another button.